Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. 'Tis better to give than to receive. And obviously, your mother knows this very well, doesn't she? Without your mother giving 9 months or so of carrying around the extra weight, the morning sickness, the backaches, the leg cramps, the dizziness, the fluid retention, heartburn, elevated blood pressure, varicose veins, insomnia, and of course, constipation and hemorrhoids, you wouldn't be here. Our mothers gave quite a bit so that you and I could have life, didn't they? And then there's those, oh, 17 or 18 years or so. Maybe you still are caring for your children. But they fed you. They wiped your bottom when it was dirty. They have clothed you. They've taught you how to walk, talk, vacuum the living room. They've woken you up so that you're not late for school. They have hemmed your pants so that you could take that nice-looking young lady to the prom. And then there's all those nights that she stayed awake worrying about you. And then it wouldn't be complete if we failed to list those things that mothers do for their children every single day. They have showed us affection. They were kind and loving. Of course, they had to discipline us, but they also laughed and they prayed with us. And yet, what does this really mean? 'Tis better to give than to receive. What's that all about, anyways? Well, when Jesus sent out his first 12 apostles, he told them to receive nothing and take nothing with you. He commanded them, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. He said, you receive without paying, so give without paying. You're to acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff. So I know it's kind of a silly question. What does it mean that it's better to give than to receive? But God's word surely answers this question quite concisely. After all, your mother knows what it means, but we know what it means to give as well. The concept of giving isn't unique to Christians or to 21st century Americans. Since the dawn of time, people all over the world have known the blessedness and the joy of giving and sharing with each other. As 21st century Christians, we know that giving only for the purpose of receiving that tax deduction, thereby decreasing your tax bill, or giving just so that you get a pat on your back a little bit more often, that all of this is not giving the way that the Lord seeks or he desires. As Christians, this joy of giving and sharing goes way beyond any of these worldly things that we hold dear. But can we still be missing the point? Can our understanding of giving be a little bit off the mark, maybe? Consider the words of our Lord in today's gospel. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I give them eternal life. Did you catch that? Jesus, the good shepherd, gives his children, his sheep, he gives them eternal life. Now, does the good shepherd give us other things too? Absolutely he does. He gives us daily bread. But the most important thing that the Good Shepherd gives to us is eternal life. He said, I give them eternal life. In fact, as we dig a little deeper into this Good Shepherd stuff, we find throughout Scripture that this great gift of eternal life is pretty expensive. It comes with a really hefty price tag, a price that you can't afford. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given his own life so that his sheep, you and I, can live forever. The Heavenly Father has given his only begotten Son for the sole purpose of suffering the full wrath of the wages of sin, and thus he died a miserable, hellish death, so that all of his living lambs could live and live eternally. God gives this great gift. He gives it to us with no strings attached, and he doesn't ask for us to repay it. Like we're really worthy of receiving it in the first place, but this graciousness of God is for you to enjoy, and to enjoy forever. Unfortunately, this good news of God's most wonderful gift, it's often not necessarily forgotten, but it's relegated to a much lower status than the glorious divine giving of our Heavenly Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he's often thought of more in terms of, a protector and provider rather than the Savior and Redeemer. So often we get focused on all the other things that God gives to us, like our daily bread, house and home, family, friends, jobs, good weather, good reputations, and all the other bountiful gifts that he gives to us, which he absolutely does give to us, and he even gives them when we don't ask for them or when we fail to say thank you. But he gives daily bread to everybody, even to those who hate him and persecute him and his followers. That's giving. But is daily bread the most important thing that God gives? Is daily bread the most important thing in our lives? Well, it might be, but that doesn't make it right. Many churches fall prey to and enable this sort of mentality from time to time. Just think about all the mission events and outreach efforts that focus on giving away tangible things that we can touch, taste, or feel. But seldom does the love of God and the truth of our Lord be so freely given. So much manna is given away, and yet the bread of life never makes it out the door of our sanctuary. We'll selfishly stuff our tummies and quench our thirst, but we still leave the soul of our friends, family, and neighbors hungry and dehydrated. What are we giving to others? Why are we giving to others? Quite often, that's the more troubling question. Like the poor sap scrounging for receipts, going crazy, checking every drawer, looking on every shelf, trying to dig up all those receipts to prove his charitable giving just for the sake of reducing his tax bill. Or the Yahoo who's puffed up his chest, bragging about all the wonderful things he's done just to help his own ego. Many people give with underhanded motives and intentions instead of just giving and helping like we're supposed to. You know, so many think, hey, I'm going to give, but what do I get out of it? It's like our tithings, our offering that we collect here. You're not giving so that, well, I get paid, or you're not giving so that we keep the lights on. You're giving so that the kingdom of God can be extended. You're giving so that the word of God can be going out to hungry and thirsty souls. So do we give for the simple sake that our neighbor needs the assistance, and that we've been blessed with the means and the abilities to assist? Well, it's sad, and no one ever wants to admit it, but that's kind of how it works. Many merely want the credit. You know, hey, look what I've done. Might you think your Heavenly Father wouldn't know if you did it, even though you posted it and published it and tweeted it all over Facebook or whatever? You know, like the tree that falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it. Does an act of giving or generosity, does it even exist if nobody's there to document it and make it public? Does it even exist if no one praises it? Now, don't get me wrong, okay? Giving and sharing is very good for whatever reason. And I certainly don't want to seem like it's discouraged or frowned upon. It's not. It's very good and godly when it's done. But that's just it. What makes it right? What makes it blessed that you're giving? How does one give rightly? How is one blessed in their giving? Blessed by whom? I've met many a mother who would stand in front of a racing truck to protect her child from getting hurt. But then I've also seen many a child receive bountifully from their mother, and without any word of thanks, they vulgarly spit upon her and they yell at her for not giving them even more. Well, believe it or not, the answer to all of these questions is really quite simple. It all begins and it all ends with Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It flows from Christ and it flows back to Christ. Here is your Savior, your Redeemer, freely holding out to you and giving to you his gifts of eternal life and that peace which surpasses all human understanding. Here is God's own Son freely giving to you the one thing that matters the most. He gives you himself. And he gives you his gift of life, peace, and forgiveness. It doesn't matter what tax bracket you're in. Christ does not restrict his gifts only to a certain age group or demographic or IQ. Christ gives his gifts freely to all people, regardless of whether they live in a democratic republic or live under a monarchy or a czar or a village chieftain or even a terroristic tyrant. Christ gives freely to Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Socialists, Communists, and every other form of governance or tyranny that find people living there. Christ died and gave all for everyone. He desires the death of no man. And he desires that all may come to the faith and have life in him to the fullest. He is truly the good shepherd of all who hear his voice. And that's the one thing that we've missed when we read Psalm 23 like we did today, especially on a day like today, Mother's Day. So often, Psalm 23 is thought of and understood in terms of it's yet to come. those gifts in that song, those are yet to come. That when we die, our good shepherd will lead us beside the cool, calm waters and the lush green pastures. When we die and go home to heaven, our good shepherd will usher us into his heavenly feast, and he will anoint us with oil, and then our cups will overflow. We'll want for nothing. Every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow, every pain, every worry will be forgotten when we die and go home to heaven. But what about now? What about today? It'll absolutely be beyond all imagination and comparison when we get home to heaven. But what about now? Is Christ giving to you only when you get home to heaven? Is not the Good Shepherd here with us now? Does your cup of righteousness, his perfect righteousness, does it not overflow now? God doesn't give in half measures of justification and forgiveness. You get it all. You get it now, folks. I hope and pray that such present tense reality gives you and the rest of the flock a joy and a peace that does surpass all understanding. No matter what this world throws at you, no matter what situation you may find yourself in, may you ever and always know that you are Jesus's little lambs, and may your faith and trust be ever grounded in the joy and the peace that only God can provide. One last thing. Honor your mother today. Mothers have given an extremely great amount so that you may have life as well. Give thanks to God he provided a woman to bear you as an infant. Thank God he provided your mother the means to raise you where you are now. And thank God, if you happen to be like me, that he has your mother with him in heaven, where she'll be forever and ever. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. Now may the peace, which does surpass all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.